Welcome to Faith and Fellowship, the quarterly magazine for the Ardeer Livingston linkage. It's issue number 85 for March 2020. And we start with the editor's letter. Welcome to the March edition of Faith and Fellowship. This will be my fourth edition of the church magazine, which means I've come full circle. There have been a few changes under my tenure so far. The magazine is now joint between Ardeer and Livingston, and the name of the magazine has been changed to reflect this. The minister has been unwell for the past month or so, and as a result, we've had a few guest speakers, namely Mr. Douglas Crichton and the Reverend Robert Travers. I always enjoy listening to speakers beyond the norm, as they bring a different flow to the service. A change, as they say, is as good as a break. Hopefully, the minister will be back in good health by the time you're reading this. It would appear that our linkage is facing a period of transition in the coming months and years. While I do not know exactly what the future holds for us, in line with this edition's Views from the Pews topic, it is certainly something for us to consider personally and pray about. Mr. Tomlinson recently distributed a prayer plan to the congregation to help develop the discipline of prayer. Sunday at the manse has also been looking at developing a more active prayer life within our community, and I look forward to seeing how these initiatives develop. The period of Easter is fast approaching, and before that is, of course, the period of Lent. Other Christian sects seem to pay more attention to this part of the calendar than we ourselves do, but the idea of giving up something or fasting remains a strong tradition across all Abrahamic religions. So perhaps there is more to it than we give credit for. In the past, I have given up various things for Lent. One year it was meat, much to my mother's annoyance, and another it was caffeine, which was when I discovered that I quite enjoy herbal teas and decaffeinated coffee. Perhaps we shouldn't look at Lent as giving something up, but as an opportunity to try alternatives. At any rate, it certainly helps to focus on the coming of Easter at the end of Lent, even if it just means you are once more allowed your tea and steak.
Prayer thoughts. As the idea of union begins to move towards reality, the need for prayer is stronger than ever. Though the process will be a strong focus for prayer, we mustn't forget the need for prayer building our relationship with God to make us more effective in our witness and prayer for those who still haven't accepted the gospel or those who are finding ordinary everyday lives difficult. A model that can be summed up by using this triangle, up, out, in, where up is a prayer time spent improving our relationship with God and seeking guidance. In concerns prayers for God's church, the fellowship of believers, and out has a focus on praying for those out with that church. Hopefully you will have seen and used the prayer framework recently circulated in the church, which will offer prayer prompts for the year with special prayers weeks for Easter and Christmas. In addition, join with the millions of Christians across the world who will use the Kingdom, Thy Kingdom Come website, which will have a special focus between the 21st and the 30th of May. Thy Kingdom Come Global will have a series of short videos for each day during the period to help focus in our prayer. So echoing Paul's urging to the Thessalonians in the first letter of verse 17 of chapter 5, keep on praying. Themes. Approach. Come before God humbly, but in the knowledge you are there at his invitation. Confess. Review your prayer in life and ask God to forgive its weaknesses. Need for prayer. Thanksgiving. Ministry. Give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us and Brian Devlin in his role. Organisation. Gives thanks for the organisations who meet within our buildings. Pantomime. Give thanks for the continuous enthusiasm of the group and that their funds they raise for Christian AIDS. Use of IT. Give thanks for the flexibility that allows us to the outreach it offers via the church website. intercessions, prayer life. Pray that there will be a reinvigoration of the church's prayer life, unification. Pray that the process of unification will be carried out peacefully. Easter. Pray for the meaning of Easter will not be lost in commercialisation. Stevenson. Pray that the church will be able to respond to the needs of the townspeople, particularly those suffering from hardship.
A letter from Sandy Herschel, Livingston Session Clerk. There's a limited amount of session news for this magazine, due partly to the fact that we did not have a February meeting as Dave is off ill. I can report that Dave is on the mend and we hope and pray that he continues to improve and will be able to return to work soon. Since the last magazine, we've had a very successful Christmas fair at Livingston. It was agreed that the money raised would be used to replace the curtains with vertical blinds in the large hall and the session room. This work is well underway, and by the time you hear this, all blinds should be fitted. The session are extremely grateful to everyone who helped and supported in making the fair a success. The Kirk session received letters from Robbie Burns and David Frew, indicating that they no longer felt able to serve as active elders. On behalf of the session and the congregation, I would like to acknowledge the long and diligent service both gentlemen have given to the church over many years. At the January meeting, all rolls and records were attested, ready to be presented to Presbytery in February. I was unable to take these along due to being away on holiday, and I would like to extend my thanks to Kay Tudor, our dear session clerk, for taking the rolls and records of both churches to the meeting in Ardrossan. No meeting in February has not delayed the building work to be done within the roof space of the church, as we have not yet received the results of the tender process. We are hopeful that we should have these very soon and that the work will be able to progress as quickly as possible. It does mean that we will be worshipping in the hall for the foreseeable future.
The Livingston Finance Report. Hopefully by the time you read this, the annual report and receipts and payments accounts for 2019 will have been approved by session and our examiner. It will be passed on to Presbytery for examination and then to the General Trustees in Edinburgh. That will only leave, as it's called, OSCAR, which is the Office of the Scottish Charity Regulator. We'll need to satisfy them, but I won't need to do that before the summer. Over the year, the general fund gained by £1,500, mainly due to a small increase in donations and reduced energy costs. The fabric fund fell by £1,000, principally due to the survey cost for the roof, which was £1,100. The other funds vary according to their investment value, but no assets were bought or sold in 2019. Our cash balance was £17,132, of which £5,207 was Livingston Players and £1,300 for the whole blinds project. This is well within the session guidelines to hold 2 months' expenses in cash. Note that this is the high point of our cash balance and it will decrease through to November. For 2020, the prospects financially are, to say the least, uncertain. We have an undetermined amount for the roof repairs. We have an interest-free loan from the General Trustees of £220,000 for the new manse. This arrangement will end at some point this year. We no longer get rate rebate in the old manse and are still financially responsible for its upkeep until it's sold, which again is uncertain. And that's from Finlay Kerr, the Livingston Treasurer.
The Union. A message from Dave. In thinking about the Union, we have a responsibility and calling to carry out the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptising them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In January 2020, the Kirk Sessions agreed to move to unite both congregations as quickly as possible and sought Presbytery's assistance. There are several things that need to happen. Naming the new congregation, considering worship times, sorting out the liabilities that the elders carry as elder and as charity trustees. We also need to manage both buildings. The reality is that a lot has happened since the last presbytery plan. We cannot afford both buildings, neither of which are fit for purpose for church today. The General Assembly has implemented a radical action plan which involves reducing the scale of central church, reducing the number of presbyteries from 43 to 12, and looking to reduce the size of cult sessions. There is no longer the financial ability to maintain as many buildings as there are, nor manage the current number of ministers. There's no point saying that the church just needs to recruit more ministers. Firstly, there aren't enough people coming forward for ministry, and secondly, there aren't the financial resources to maintain them. The number of church members is reducing. In short, we can't go on the way we as a church have because it is no longer sustainable. There will be a congregational vote and there needs to be a formal basis of union established. Whilst there was a suggested timescale, that is no longer viable. But the union will be this year. Buildings will take longer to deal with.
Ardair Guild. The Guild continues to meet every Monday in Ardair Church Hall. The second half of our sessions have been very busy with lots of interesting speakers and activities. Bob Johnson told us about the work on the RNILI and Robert Deans told us about the Salvation Army. Lorna Harris visited us again and everyone enjoyed the chance to improve their fitness with chair exercise. It was good to see Brian Murray again and hear of his trip to the Holy Land. Before the end of the session, we look forward to hearing from Sandy Hershaw, Barbara Graham from Marie Curie and Neil Smith from Hearing Dogs.
Next, information about Livingston Guild from Dorothy Pennell. Since the beginning of this new decade, the Guild has had a busy programme. In January, we do not have any speakers in case of problems with bad weather and difficult journeys. On January the 7th, we had our New Year lunch at the Corner House restaurant in Kilwinning, which was enjoyed by all. On the 14th of January, we watched the DVD of the Gathering of the National Guild at the Caird Hall in Dundee last September. It's always good to hear the moderator of the General Assembly and be able to put a face to a name, and we always enjoy the hymn singing. January the 21st was our annual tribute to Robert Burns in song, poetry and traditional fare, and on the 28th of January, we held our bring and buy sale in aid of the Guild projects. Jean Todd was our speaker on the 4th of February, and her subject was Growing Up with Granny. She said she enjoyed giving this talk in Stevenston, as we would all know the places and many of the people she was talking about. On the 11th of February, we were due to have Lorna Harris from our dear church, who was going to put us through our paces with chair exercises. Unfortunately, Lorna had contracted a bug and was unable to come. Hopefully we can rearrange her visit for the 3rd of March. Instead, we discussed the Guild topic for this session. We will welcome Evelyn Porter from North Parish Church to talk to us on church humour on February the 18th. This visit was postponed from September the 17th due to electrical problems in our church and halls. On February the 25th, Rebecca McGonigal from World Mission will tell us all about our second project of the session entitled Empowering Young Mothers in Zambia. These girls need to continue their education so that they can get paid employment to support their children. On March the 10th, we are doing something completely different. Instead of the Clydeside Singers coming to Stevenson to give us a concert, we are going to join them in their Tuesday afternoon rehearsal at the Little Sisters of the Poor in Greenock. We will arrive at 1 p.m. and the practice finishes at 2:30 p.m. when we will be served tea. On March the 17th, Brian Devlin will talk to us about his work in Stevenson, Livingston and Ardeer. And on the 24th of March, we will welcome Isabel Lind from Greenock, whose subject is London, Paris and New York as a Hede. This should be both interesting and enjoyable. March the 31st is the date for our AGM and Easter service. April the 7th, Tuesday of Holy Week, we will hold our annual daffodil tea at 1:30 p.m. in the hall. All welcome.
Questions answered. Several months ago, a small group of people from both congregations identified that there were questions around issues of union and the way forward, some leading to misinformation. To deal with this, they suggested that an event could be held with which will allow everyone to ask their questions and have them answered. With Dave's blessing, this was taken to the joint cult session and agreed. Two elders were appointed to oversee the process, and this was taken to the learning community, who have brought the thing together. From Sunday 16th of February 2020, there will be a box in both charges, with cards and pens, and everyone is invited to write down their question. There is no need to put your name against the question. These boxes will be there for 5 Sundays, being removed on Sunday 15th of March. This allows the learning community to group the questions together and begin drawing up answers, which will be presented after the shared worship on Sunday 29th of March. At the tea and coffee after the services, everyone has an opportunity, sitting at tables, to talk and add any questions they may wish to put forward. Every effort will be made to ensure that as many of these questions as possible are answered.
Our next article is entitled Enjoying January Celebrations with the Brownies and was submitted by Catherine Reid, who was the elder who visited them. I paid a visit to the Brownies recently. Pat Gray had asked me to take the girls for some set dancing and ceilidh dances as part of their celebrations for Burns' birthday. Pat has been very ably assisted by Anne Norwood for many years. Also helping them at the moment are a trainee young leader and a young helper. There are approximately 24 brownies in the roll, but on the night there were 18 brownies present. As is the usual format, the brownies stood ready in their sixes and each group skipped in while singing their own specific song round a toadstool and under an arch to form a circle. Pat told them about the plan for the evening and I was then introduced. The girls were very enthusiastic and quickly picked up the dances, including the Charlestown Chaser and A Reel for Jeannie. Also on the programme were some well-known round-the-room dances such as Canadian Barn Dance and the Military Two-Step. Most of the brownies had already learned these for their Christmas parties in school, so were able to really enjoy them because the dances were familiar. While we were doing the dances, the leaders were busy preparing the supper of oatcakes, crackers and cheese, along with shortbread and, of course, iron brew to drink. The brownies gathered round the tables without any fuss, and while they were enjoying the food, they chatted away to each other. I was most impressed that there was no nonsense, so the leaders were able to enjoy their own chat and refreshment without interruptions. I learned their programme this session had also included the Chinese New Year and a visit to Bonnie Leslie Court to perform their nativity. The evening ended all too soon, with the brownies in a ring singing O Lord Our God. Livingston Players, a huge thank you to everyone for helping to make our 2019 pantomime Mother Goose a great success. The four-night sell-out run was once again exhausting but extremely rewarding for all the cast. Putting on the pantomime each year is a massive undertaking and it quite simply wouldn't be possible without the army of volunteers who helped to make the show a success. Thank you to all those who helped at the shop, programme sellers, those who looked after the junior cast, designed the scenery, built props, emptied the bins and swept the floor. The list of names is endless. Everyone had great fun rehearsing and performing on stage, but you, the audience, are as much a part of the cast as the players themselves. Your attendance each year is invaluable, hopefully to enjoy a great night's entertainment, and of course enabling us all to raise money for Christian Aid. This year we are delighted to be able to send £3,200 to Christian Aid, so thank you all for playing your part and supporting us. Remember to check our website, www.livingstonplayers.org.uk, for details of our upcoming production. Preparations are already underway for our 2020 pantomime. Oh yes they are! And that's from Livingston Players.
Prayer. Prayer is part of our relationship with God. It's how we communicate with Him, sharing what we feel we need to share with Him, and taking time to listen to His voice. Like the disciples, there are people who have asked about how to pray. In January and February, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, and the prayer course has been running at Sunday night at the manse. On Saturday the 28th of March 2020, there'll be a training day for Little House of Prayers to help people come together to pray. This will be open to other congregations and follow up by running the Blessings course at Sunday night at the manse. The training day will be run in the hall at Livingston Church and will be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Further information will be available soon. Prayer leaflets have been developed and distributed to the congregation to assist with personal devotion. There has been developed by a member of our congregations who is part of the learning group. Every blessing, Dave.
Views from the pews. This one's from Alan Kerr. Recently, we've been looking at prayer, and a prayer plan was handed out to members of the congregation. Hence, here we are, having a look at prayer. I'm not very good at praying. Most of the time, I'm distracted by other events or tasks I have to perform. When I do pray of my own accord, it tends to be caused by some pressing issue, like an upcoming exam, a troubled friend, or the release of a new magazine edition. I very much subscribe to the idea that I had to be in the right frame of mind to pray, which really only further limited the times I did so. At the turn of the year, I was invited to attend an Alpha course by a friend. One of their sessions focused on prayer. I found a particular speaker from one of their video presentations challenged my previous approach to prayer. To paraphrase, we do not need to be in a certain mood to pray. Whether we are worried, tired, frustrated, or joyful, the secret is to realise that even the most negative feelings can be a fuel for prayer. Just start by focusing on the most dominant feeling in your heart and express the reasons for it to your Lord. Transforming these feelings, positive or negative, into prayer. We can pray all the time. Brother Luigi Gioia, Benedictine Monk, Alpha Film Series, Episode 5, Why and How Do I Pray? This was a different approach from my own. Having tried it, I found it more liberating, and I suddenly have fewer reasons not to pray. I'm not very good at praying, but that's okay. I can pray about that and go from there. And now a view from Susan Gibson. Prayer has always been an important part of my faith, but recently I have been reflecting about how I pray. After reading the book The Grace Outpouring by Roy Godwin and Dave Roberts, I started to really think about prayer and what it really means to me. Having a quiet time to reflect on my day, family and those around me, as well as looking beyond my locality and the needs of others. To thank God for all He has given me and to listen for His voice. In John chapter 16, verses 23 to 27, we learn, we need to learn to talk to God the way we would talk to a loving, caring Father. For this is what He is. The more I read, I am more convinced that prayer does not need complicated language. Simple words to someone we know loves us. The prayer leaflet that was developed by Andrew Tomlinson and distributed at church is an excellent starting point to use.
Pray. The day war was declared on the 3rd of September 1939, my mother visited our grandparents. At that time, she had my sister, aged 12, and my brother, aged 8 years old. Previously, she had visited a doctor to be told her symptoms were caused by the menopause, and then to be told she was 6 months pregnant, which, as you can imagine, was a great shock. After her visit to my grandparents, she returned home to discover my father's dead, having committed suicide. At my father's funeral, the minister told my mother she would need a Geistlicher Hirte for a Geistlicher Brei. I was born in November 1939 after a difficult birth. We stayed with my grandparents during the war years, and I was brought up to always say my prayers and the Lord would give me the strength to get through the difficult times that came my way. As I grew up, I used to listen to the other children talking about their fathers. My grandparents were wonderful, but it wasn't quite the same as having my own father. One day something had been said at school which had really upset me, and as I walked home crying, I felt a presence as if someone had put their arm around me, and a thought came to my head that I have always treasured. You may not have an earthly father, but you have a heavenly father. I have never forgot that feeling, and when hard times have come, as come they will, I always pray to my heavenly father to give me the strength and wisdom to deal with the difficulties we meet. My mother was a constant inspiration to me, and the way she dealt with adversity, and she put her trust in the Lord, and he never failed her or me. All my life I have been surrounded by love from my husband, our family, and our lovely friends. God bless you.
This article entitled Thoughts on Prayer was provided by Ken Gibson. The request for the contribution was the cause of some thought on the matter. Prayer is such a commonplace terminology that in reality it probably does not get the thought it should. That's one reason why I appreciated the recent prayer framework produced by Andrew Tomlinson. On a temporal level, prayer to me means taking a quiet moment to analyse recent events and actions, put them into context of what could or should be, and then determining future course of action to make good or follow through desired intentions. Time to think, in other words, but with a conscience, allowing the process of what is good and right to prevail over what is undesired and unhelpful. To me, the conscience bit is the spiritual level, what God is saying. The process being to have actions guided by principles. What prevents regular prayer activity? Life seems so busy nowadays, although the nowadays is relative to each passing and advancing period of time. We may spend hours on social media or viewing telly, but I suspect our forebears had equal distractions on this particular question. The likely truth is, the more that is put into the discipline of regular prayer, the more rewarding is the outcome. So if nothing else, I will endeavour to do so, aided by the prayer framework.
An item on the youth group. The youth group continues to provide lots of fun and a great place for young people to meet, make friends, and explore the spiritual side of church life in a way relevant to them. We've had our three evenings in the High Kirk. We are currently meeting in Livingston Church, and then April to June we meet at Ardeer. We have a steady 15 who come along on the third Sunday of the month to enjoy the activities. We have been advertising in schools to bring in new people. If you know of anyone in the primary 6 to S4 age group, then please let them know about the youth group. The dates from now to summer are Sunday 15th of March in Livingston Church Hall, and the remaining 3 in Ardeer Church Hall on Sunday the 19th of April, 17th of May and 21st of June. We meet from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Courtesy of the funding from Cash for Kids, the youth group had a great Christmas night out at the garage in Kilmarnock with a game of bowling and a meal.
Ardeer Children's Church. Since the last newsletter was printed, we have had a busy time at the Children's Church. This year's nativity play was the Alphabet Nativity. It went through the alphabet from A to Z, whilst also going through the nativity from start to finish. So it started with angels and Mary going to Bethlehem because of the census. Of course, she had to travel on a donkey. I'm sure you're getting the idea. The children and the adults involved did a great job, and it was a lovely service. The Christmas party was great fun. Thank you to John, who came with his music and ran the games and dancing, which they all really enjoyed. Thanks to funding from Cash for Kids and donations from members of the congregation, we had lots to eat. We even had pizza delivered this year, which was very popular. We've been delighted with the number of children who have been coming along on a Sunday morning, and they're all joined in the songs, stories and crafts. Even the little ones enjoy the actions to the songs. We'd like to thank members of the congregation and the guild for the support throughout the year. It truly is appreciated. Cash for Kids. We received £470 from Cash for Kids to help us with our activities for Christmas, for the youth club and the children's Christmas parties. This allowed us to buy all the selection boxes, which were larger than we would normally be able to afford. It paid for the youth club Christmas outing to the garage in Kilmarnock, and there was money left over to help towards the food for the Christmas party. A huge thank you to Cash for Kids, as without their funding, we would not have been able to provide such a good Christmas for the children.
The next article was provided by both Sandy and Dorothy Hershaw. Let's start with Sandy's contribution. Since Alan, the editor, thought we would have limited session news, he suggested we write an article about our recent winter sun holiday when we did a fly drive off the Gulf Coast of Florida. When you mention Florida, people immediately think Mickey Mouse and theme parks. Neither of these featured in our time away, but what we did see was an abundance of amazing wildlife, conservation projects and real Florida celebrations. Florida is a beautiful state and so much more than just Disney. We flew into Tampa the evening before the biggest annual celebration the city holds, the Gasparilla Pirate Festival. Everywhere was very busy that evening, but on the Saturday, the day of the festival, we have never seen a complete city so full of people attending an event. We stood out as the tourists, as we were amongst the very few who were not dressed in complete pirate or pirate maiden outfits. It really was a sight to behold. The day started early with an invasion of the pirate ship Jose Gasparilla, accompanied by a flotilla of vessels sailing into Tampa Harbour, all guns blazing, and taking over the city after being given the keys by the mayor. This festival has taken place almost every year since 1904. Once ashore, the captain and his mystic crew celebrate their takeover of the city with a 4-mile-long parade of gigantic floats and marching bands. This is the third largest parade in the USA and was attended by 300,000 onlookers. For us, this really was a colourful and enjoyable spectacle, and well worth the 3 hours it took for the parade to pass. Our road trip continued down the Gulf Coast for a few nights' stay at the beach at Sarasota, before moving on to Marco Island, which is one of 1,000 islands and mangroves. I'm not quite sure if it's 1,000 or 10,000, just because of a typing thing. Either 1,000 or 10,000 islands and mangrove islets in Everglades National Park in southwest Florida. While there, we visited the Everglades with its abundance of wetlands and wildlife. We also enjoyed a touristy, exhilarating airboat ride and a swamp buggy adventure. We did this in what we thought was beautiful weather, and while we were putting on sunscreen, the Floridians were covering up with hoodies and jackets buttoned up to their noses. On our return journey, we stopped at picturesque Sanibel Island and Fort Myers. Sanibel Island is famous for the huge variety of shells in its beaches. A walk along the beach was not only shared with countless pelicans, but also shellers. More than half of this island is the Ding Darling Wildlife Refuge. While in Fort Myers, we visited the winter estates of Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, who had been great friends for much of their lives and were neighbours here and shared a laboratory.
Before our flight home, we returned to Tampa for a few more days, during which we spent a day visiting the Florida State Fair. This was another sight to behold. The fairgrounds cover over 355 acres, with many different types of buildings, indoor and outdoor exhibits, a huge variety of rides, shows and food. We managed to resist the donut burgers and alligator tails. The fair is seen as an opportunity for the state to showcase its agricultural industry. Part of the fairground consists of a permanent open-air museum called Cracker Country. This was really a complete town of original buildings from pioneer days. As we approached the church, we could hear music being played on traditional instruments, which we quickly recognised as Scotland the Brave. As we entered, we told the guide that we were from Scotland. When the group finished playing, she announced to everyone that there were people from Scotland present. The band leader said the tune was one of their favourites and asked if there were words to it. When we said yes, she immediately invited us to go up and sing them to everyone. Needless to say, we refused, as we didn't want to spoil the concert or people's day out. We did stay for a short time, joining in with the group, singing many gospel hymns and choruses. This was a most enjoyable day for us, and a fitting end to our time in the glorious sunshine, before returning to the wind, sleet and rain of home.
Church Diary. Sunday 29th of March. Shared worship in Livingston at 10:30. This is a covenant service. Monday, 6th of April. Holy Week service in Livingston at 1900. Tuesday, 7th of April. Holy Week service in Ardea at 1900. Wednesday, 8th of April. Holy Week service in Livingston at 1900. Thursday, 9th of April, Holy Week service plus the sacrament, to be held in Ardea at 1900. Friday, 10th April, Good Friday in the High Kirk. Sunday, 12th of April, Stevenston Point, dawn sunrise at 7 o'clock in the morning, followed by breakfast in Ardea at 8 o'clock. And then shared worship in Ardea at 10:30. Sunday, 31st of May. Shared worship in Ardea at 10:30.